Who the hell knows who's going to start at quarterback? We're going to try and do it right. Leading into camp, hopefully the Browns will do it right as well. In case we missed it, coming up in about 40 minutes here, and I think I've changed this about three times what we're going to talk about. I think we finally have. Thank you for all your other submissions. I think we have the thing I will be talking about, and it involves burgers, because of course it will. But Gardo's got a chance here to take the first three games tonight against the Orioles. Kind of a huge moment for them in just kind of continuing that positive momentum over the last 12 games.
Yeah, I mean, they've been awesome lately, but it's because their offense has been so awesome. Like, I was trying to figure out whether or not this is something we can see moving forward. It would be done in such a backwards way. Starting rotation has a 4.35 ERA over the previous 12 games, Nick. So, like, that's not something to write home about. That's okay. It's not great by any means. It's not bad by any means. But how they've been doing it is just the offensive side of the ball. And that's the part that I kind of sit up at night and I wonder if this is sustainable.
So, I think that's fair when we talk about the sustainability. I know that they're in a hot spot last night, though, because in the fifth inning, there's a weird situation where I think it was Carlos Santana thought the catcher called time, and then the catcher, because he stood up, put his hands up, and then immediately got back down, and the pitcher threw a strike right down the plate.
Yeah,
and not just that, but like the Orioles manager came out, then Stephen Vogt came out and immediately gave up. He was one of the most. I still have no idea why Steven didn't put up a bigger stink, because
he doesn't really do that. It's kind of what we learned.
No, yeah, but this is the point. Like, in the moment, you've got some good things going. You're threatening, and you give away a strike without so much as a fight. But that didn't end up hurting them. They ended up adding more runs as the game went on.
Well, this is like pinch hitting for Manzardo two nights ago to then have it work out where even though David Fry didn't actually contribute, you're still like, you got away with it. And even last night, two nights ago, I talked about how many stranded runners they had. They had nine runners left on base last night. Like, just an insane number, but they're winning.
When a bad inning like that, or when like a questionable, when that doesn't hurt, like even slow you down a little bit, I think that's a sign. Listen, I don't think this is who the offense is going to be. I don't. But is it a do I also think that they should be the fifth worst baseball or a fifth worst offense in baseball? No, I think there's it. Even if it's just slightly, I think they've got more power at that, at the very least, which is what they have been showing.
I just think it's an interesting like launching point into it. Like for instance, Tigers right now have dropped eight out of their last nine. And in the previous 40 games, they've just kind of been a completely different team than what you saw for the first stretch of the season. And so if you're a Tigers fan, you're probably wondering to yourself which version of this is real. Mm-hmm. For the Guardians, we had that 10-game losing streak. And I don't think anybody thought that part was the real team. But I don't know that many people think this right now, where you've been the best offense in baseball for going on almost 3 weeks, mixed with just okay pitching, which was not the recipe that they had a month ago. I don't think anyone thinks that's it either. It's probably somewhere in between, but when it all washes out, it'll be interesting.
So you got more pop out of Bo recently. Yeah, I don't think that's real.
Yeah, I mean, Martinez is on such a heater where you say you're getting DMs about people saying shades of Jose Ramirez out of him.
Not DMs, people tweeting me. Things that I can remember to go back to in the future. I do think...
I'm just happy Ken Carmen was on that first with Angel Martinez.
This is totally revenge for the other thing.
I'm happy.
No, this is dirty pool.
He's very in on Angel Martinez.
By the way, Ken, love you, buddy. Hope you're doing well down below the Mason-Dixon line. Let me just tell you this. The kid was hitting like 300 for like 4 weeks. You don't get to hop in on the Angel Martinez
train. Weeks ago, he made the comment. That's his type of baseball player is what that is.
Yeah. Hey, guy's doing good. That's my kind of baseball player.
He said he was the biggest Angel Martinez fan at the station. I couldn't think of anyone that was bigger.
No, he didn't say that.
I couldn't think of anyone that was bigger.
This is also revenge of the no-so-so-so thing. I see what you're doing.
Wait, where is Ken? You said he's south of the Mason.
No, I said, I hope everything's well below the...
In my head, I'm like, I just thought he was going for a trip, but you meant a different type of trip.
Yeah, okay. No, it was just he got things taken care of, and, you know, I've heard... Mostly, most men do okay with that. Yeah. Every once in a while, I was on the fence about having that done, and then a friend of mine, Sarah, her husband Greg, had complications from it. Now, we're taking a loaded pistol with us wherever we go for the rest of my life.
Well, can I get it out, please?
One bad story, and I was like, well, I guess it's just not meant to be. Now, specific to this, I do think this is who Manzardo is, which is why I get so mad when he doesn't play 5 days a week. I do think this is the real Angel Martinez, even if I think the other is the real Angel Martinez, too. He's just a streaky player. I think this is the real Nolan Jones. And if you take away his first, like, 6 weeks, 7 weeks this year,
yeah,
the power isn't where you want it to be, but everything else pretty much is. So from that standpoint, like, I think that is the halfway point, by the way. Like, for most of this season, you've gotten production out of two, maybe three players, if you want to throw some of what Carlos has done. The last couple weeks, you've been getting, the last 4 or 5 weeks, you've been getting production from another three players.
Right.
I do think they have six everyday players in their lineup.
Well, and so that's part of that difference is when you look at their starting lineup, you can see that now, and it's just a little bit different. Like, in between the break, Anthony was like, three straight days in a row. They don't have a bad lineup out to start. Let's do this. It's like, well, no, if you gave this lineup to everyone 3 weeks ago, we would have said much different things about this lineup. They've just been performing now, and they've been hitting, so it looks a little bit different because these guys have actually been doing their jobs.
Does that mean Will Wilson is not in the lineup?
I honestly haven't even seen the lineup. I'm taking a stab at that one.
If Will Wilson's not in the lineup, that's a hell of a lineup.
No, they only have one player that has an OPS below 600.
Him alone doesn't make it a bad lineup.
Naylor?
So you have Rokio in there, and but even like,
and
so,
even he's hitting the last 4 weeks.
When you okay, the lineup tonight, not to go through it all, but you know, Martinez in the two spot, which there was a time a month ago where people would have shuddered at the idea of Martinez in the two spot. Now we're like, hell yeah, let's put Martinez in the two hole, let's figure this out. And then to finish out, Jones, Schneeman, Rokio, and Naylor. I'm not saying it gives you the most optimism in the world, but the way Nolan's been hitting lately, the way Schneeman's been hitting, like, and then even Rokio. Rokio's looked really good since being back up. Like it's different than what it was if you presented this a month ago.
I think the 1 through 6.
While being the same thing.
When we get into like who are the real guardians, right? I think the 1 through 6 is real. Quan, Martinez, Ramirez, Manzardo, Santana, Jones. And I think the reason why I think we can be a little more positive about the 7 through 9 isn't even the recency stuff. Schneeman is a double guy. He has some pop. Bo Naylor, for all of his many bad at-bats we've seen this year, he does have more pop. This is more who he's supposed to be pop-wise as opposed to who he was last year.
I mean, he's a homer shy than Santana on the season list.
So, like, my big problem with, like, Will Wilson, it's like this guy has no power, and he can't, and he's not a contact hitter at the major league level. Yeah, Rodriguez, I guess, has it, but it's so few and far between.
Yeah, but even them in the past few days.
I mean, like, Rodriguez has had a couple good moments.
Well, yeah, but not in right field. Yeah. Not defensively.
No, offensively.
I know. Offensively, but defensively he is. There was a game a couple days ago where he had a home run, and I was like, don't care. Doesn't matter. Did you watch him play right field? A blind man could play right field better than he can. And like, I think the Guardians have started to pick up on that. He's one of the worst defensive outfielders I've ever seen play the position.
Wait, I knew he wasn't good. I didn't know he was awful.
Awful.
In fairness.
Awful.
So getting back to it, like, yeah, this is the hotter end of this, but I think what we're starting to realize is the way they've built this the last couple of years, they're just streaky teams. The 2002 team was incredibly streaky. I think we forget, 2023 was streaky, and they were a 500 team until they sold, at which point they just hit the you-know-what. And then 2024 was streaky. You were elite. I mean, you were unstoppable. You were juggernaut for 90 games. And then came a bulk of late July, August, and they really kind of ended it at August. And they kind of pinged back in the playoffs where he just got super hot march into the playoffs.
Well, that's why I think it's important to always highlight that is part of baseball in general. That's why we bring up the Tigers leading the division, but they've dropped 8 out of their last 9. That's why we bring up.
Sorry, didn't this feel more streaky? Like, it just feels like, I mean, you lose 10 games. Now you go 10 and 2.
I mean,
like, that's incredibly bipolar, even by baseball standards.
This stretch right here is about as bipolar as it gets.
Okay.
Yes, we can all acknowledge that while also saying, I'm trying to remember what World Series team it was. Just a couple years ago, was it when the Rangers won it, where they had three different 6+ game losing streaks in that stretch. It's how baseball is set up. You just got to ride the highs and the lows. It's just interesting that the highest of high right now just came after the lowest of the lows for the Guardians.
So on the matter of which team is the real Guardians, I'm going to need more of this sample size of the offense going on this tawdry pace where every night feels like we're watching some iteration of the 97 Cleveland Indians. I'm going to in the negative, there's just too big of a body of work. I want to believe this is real. I think it's real with Martinez. I know it's real with Nolan because he looks healthy. We start seeing the power we want. Manzardo, just play the dude every day. Stop this nonsense. I also think Fry, even if he's not a 300 hitter, which he was for half of last year, I think he's a useful player that can help you in spurts. So I do think there's some real here. But for me to really go too far the opposite way, which is, hey, this team that's playing ridiculous ball, winning 10 of 12, with an offense scoring 6-7 runs a game, I'm going to need another month of it before I really start to say, like, oh, no, this is just who they are.
I mean, it'd be incredible. If we got to see another month of this, like, sign me up immediately. I'm leaning more towards they were what they were in the 10-game losing streak than they are what they have been over the previous 3 weeks.
Oh, see, I would say I think they are who they were before the 10-game losing streak, where I think when they went into the pits, I think they were 3 or 4 games above 500.
So remember, even in the 10-game losing streak, though, and you're probably more right than I am just on the basis of that, because it's probably somewhere closer to the middle. But what I meant was, on the 10-game losing streak, it was because the starting pitching was awesome, but they generated a run and a half a game. That was the number, 1.5. You can't win. You can't win games that way.
Yeah.
Now, you have an ERA 4.35 over the previous 12 games for the starters. That's not what this team is. This team is better from a starting rotation standpoint than that, but this offense turned into the 27 Yankees, which is no one saw coming and no one could see coming.
216-474-0092. Which team is the real Guardians? And a desperate team in baseball that gives the Guardians a major advantage. And I think JP might be paranoid about one person on the show, but I don't know who it is. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
How about that, Daryl? 8 of the last 10, they've won. And as I found out when the second half was about to start here, Guardians have the easiest schedule the rest of the way. Pretty good start to... we call it the second half. It's not really the second half because we're well past the halfway point of the season, but you get the idea after the All-Star break.
Get your playoff tickets now.
You're locking them in.
They're hot. Scorching hot.
I know Owen was telling us before the show he's been locking them in for a while now to the playoffs.
I mean, they're not going.
How long ago did you make that claim?
I said it on air over the All-Star break.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, tar and feather the really bad teams in baseball. They'll make the playoffs and not go anywhere. It'll be great.
I think that's actually an interesting question because of the teams they're playing. The A's, they just wrapped up. They got the Orioles now coming up.
They just beat the homeless A's, okay? Let's be real.
Kansas City, then they got the Rockies. Yes, it is a favorable schedule, but is that going to, like, create this fool's gold
idea
of who they are before the trade deadline?
Here's where you can't get confused on what's happening, right? They've shaved off 4.5 games off the division and haven't shaved anything off the wild card.
Yeah.
There's still an easier path. It's the longer path, but it's the easier one. You have less teams to travel through.
Do the Detroit Tigers go full Titanic down the stretch?
That would be so. I mean, listen, we've seen teams tank in the second half of the season before. It's not unheard of. And the fact that the Guardians' schedule favors them is going to make this something where they're going to have a legitimate shot. They're going to have a legitimate shot because of the schedule that they have.
Listen, Austin Hedges collected an RBI single yesterday. Granted, he blew the suicide squeeze, but he did hit the baseball bat touched a baseball. Okay. Which that is rarefied air when you're talking about Austin Hedges. So when that's
everything's going good
right
when Austin Hedges gets an RBI.
When Austin Hedges is making contact.
Yeah, I just like, listen, I can give some credence to the idea that this team, what they were in that 10-game losing streak, was not like fully who they are. I can also give some credence to the idea that right now they're hot, and that's what the baseball season's ultimately all about, right? Like,
get hot at the right time and then hope it carries you through October.
It's 162 games. You're going to have bad slumps. You're going to have bad. You're going to have high slumps. Or not high slumps. You're going to have
high. There's no such thing as a high slump.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think we're trying to say,
I'm not used to being up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
This is a roller coaster ride. All right.
Yeah.
They went through the
peaks and valleys.
They went through the big dip and now they're coming out of it. They won 8 of 10. And they're playing really bad baseball teams. They ought to be able to get real fat down the stretch and get themselves into the postseason. And then we'll learn once again that they really are not contenders. They just played a lot of bad baseball teams and did what they were supposed to do. And that was beat down. Because the meat of the schedule, they are not good against the quality contenders right. in Major League Baseball right. this year. So, like, let's just, it's great, enjoy it. You know, it's fun to see them winning again. It's fun to see that they're able to score more than two runs in a game with some semblance of regularity again. So take it in, enjoy it. But like also too, let's be realistic about where yeah. they really are. And the campaign that I had to play the kids, well, once again, circumstances dictate they're not even going to be able to do that. So I think they're going to stand pat. I don't think Carlos Santana gets traded. I think Stephen Kwan is here for the duration of the season. I think Emmanuel Clase is here through the duration of the season. I think that they're gonna go status quo here. They're not gonna blow it up. It's the wrong word.
Yeah,
but I don't think that they're going to be the sellers. It's a trade deadline that I thought they were going to be about 4 weeks ago.
Well, what's interesting about that, Darryl, not we will get more into the trade deadline and where the Guardians stand and what they should or shouldn't do coming up a little bit later. Especially, I was in on Saturday doing my Saturday show with Earl. We had Al Pawlowski on. He dropped a bomb that he thinks they're going to be slight buyers potentially. So we can talk about what that means a little bit later in the show.
Well, fans are going to the ballpark.
Yeah. But what I find interesting, Darryl, is like, I feel if they stand pat, that's like the worst thing they could do. Because to me, I get it. They're playing good baseball. You had that stat in June when we actually hosted together. You brought it up. There was a stat in June where like they had scored like four runs or less over the course of however many games, and it was like the most miserable offense we've ever seen.
And it was like reading Brown
yeah,
statistics.
It was bad. And that's flipped in July. Like in July, yeah. since that Astro series, they've now scored like four plus runs in like almost every game.
Yeah.
They've scored like six plus runs in a handful of games, including doing so twice this weekend. So like the offense is clicking right now, but do we believe that that's going to stay true come September, come October, those times? And that's my biggest issue with like, as when we get into the deadline stuff is like, if you stand pat, that tells me you think this team is like, hey, we're good. We can do what we need to do or what we can accomplish, what we want to accomplish with this group as stands. And I just don't think that's the case. Like, I still saw that 10-game losing streak. We still saw that offense put up putrid numbers in the month of June. Like, I think when you have some extremes like that losing streak and then what they're doing now, I think it's okay to say, yeah, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, and I still think you need some help.
But here's the thing. What do they have to improve the team? Okay? That's the
you
other...
mean like, what do they have to give up?
Right.
I think it's one of those situations where you almost got to do like the thread the needle on like selling while buying. So I've been seeing everything that's been said about Emmanuel Clase is probably still going to be here, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe Clase is the piece you'd move to add something to the lineup, like a proven bat to the lineup to try to inject some more offense into things. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I'm saying like, that's kind of the thought process I have because I just don't know. It's not that I'm trying to poo-poo the Guardians. They're playing great baseball. People are showing up to the ballpark. Like you said, they have four games against the Orioles starting today that I'm sure more people are going to be tuning in for. It's still the peak of summer. We got training camp just around the corner, but the Guardians are on the brain and people are starting to get back into this team now that they're starting to win a little bit. So I get it. It's an exciting thing. It's the, like, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you thing where, hey, we've seen this before. Like, we've seen the Guardians do this to us before, and then where does it end when it's all said and done? Like, I'm not...
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
That's right. You can't get fooled again. Like, they do this all the time where they have these... Because the strength of schedule is what it is the rest of the way... I think they are going to win a lot of games. I think they're going to put themselves in position to maybe be back in the postseason. But is as currently constructed, is that enough to truly be a contending team in the playoffs? I don't think it is.
They are a threat to nobody in the playoffs.
And I get that the AL is wide open, too. I will concede
that. I understand that. But I'm telling you, They are a threat to nobody in the playoffs. They're going to get there. I do believe they're going to get there. And a big reason why is they have gotten through the meat of the schedule. It's a lot easier down the stretch. Knock on wood, they stay healthy. That's obviously going to be a key. But no, I think that they'll get a wild card. They're just not going to go anywhere because they're not true contenders. The lineup is extremely weak, especially the bottom half of the lineup. It's consistently inconsistent, all right? There are basically two bats, well, three bats that you can legitimately count on. That's Stephen Kwan, Carlos Santana, Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
That's three. Okay, last time I checked, there's nine guys in a batting order. So that means six of your nine, it's hit or miss. You don't know what you're getting on a given night. Now, the trend right now, we're back in the upswing. It's looking good.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, Austin Hedges made contact with a baseball yesterday. You've got no faith
in Angel
Martinez.
Yeah, you got no faith in Rocchio.
I have no faith in Rocchio. Angel, I'm intrigued by, but he's like, I'm not sold on him.
You've got no faith in Manzardo?
Yeah, you got to see him.
The problem with Manzardo is just because he's platooning. It's just hard to like really know where he's
got no faith in David Fry?
David Fry is coming around. I'll say that.
He's
part of that log jam that was like part of the DeLotta discussion until this wrist thing.
He's coming.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, And Zach Meisels even talked about this. At the beginning of the season, the Guardians essentially implied, like, Chase DeLauder, we have plans for him to be here up with the Major League Club at some point this summer.
Now this
wrist thing has set that back.
Now they said yesterday, Chris Antonetti, president of baseball operations.
Have him see Dr. Graham just so he can go and assess, to help us understand a little bit more about what's happening and then determine the right path forward from there, because we really want to try to understand what's going on and how does that inform how we're thinking about the best path forward.
Yeah, that's right. Chase DeLauder.
Not great.
I see in search.
So we'll see in 2026, I guess.
I love the Antonetti-isms, okay? Best path forward is right there, right up there. We're excited about the future and best path forward.
That's the problem anyway, even if it was a Chase DeLauder thing. That's where the real sticking point is right now, is the log jam at first base. He's a first baseman. Yeah. Because now you've got, so you already had Manzardo and Santana there. David Fry, at some point, you've got to get him going more consistently.
He's not
going to
be in the field, though.
But they're talking about there's a small possibility that he plays first. He's not throwing the ball as much. They're saying it, though, Daryl. I don't care that you can't do it or not. They're talking about it around the team.
I understand that they are, but I'm just being very realistic about where he's at.
But we can't cut that off right now, because that's one of the only options that they have to make the team better.
The first base logjam is one of the biggest problems with this team right now.
Because even Kayfus, to move Carlos Santana, but you're not going to get anything for him right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Need his veteran presence in that clubhouse.
Well, and that goes back to my larger point of, like, if they're winning baseball games now, they're not going to move Santana anyway, because they're going to be like, he's one of the only bats that we can really count on consistently. And it all comes full circle. This is the things that the Guardians talk themselves into. They're like, hey, we're playing good baseball now. We don't have to change anything. And they get the fan base bought back in, and then no one's the wiser. But this is why I feel like when we get to the trade deadline, I don't know. I think the worst decision they can make is to do nothing, because I think that's just like, I think that's disingenuous to the fans, frankly, because the fans saw this team at their worst. They're seeing them at their best right now, but they also saw them at their worst. And we know, like I said, if the truth is somewhere in the middle, is this lineup really good enough to do something in the postseason? The Tigers aren't the Tigers from last year. Like, they're a better team right now. Like, I just don't know if I believe it. So I hope there's something in the cards, but I'm not necessarily feeling that.
The only thing
have
going for you with the Tigers is they're young. And
is true.
Maybe you catch them slipping, right? But their pitching staff is...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. And listen, I know you're getting Shane Bieber back, so maybe that helps your pitching staff try to go toe-to-toe with a team like that. But when push comes to shove, like, we know what the playoffs are about. You got to have power hitters, and the Guardians don't have any. And then the one guy you were maybe thinking at some point was going to inject some life into the lineup is Chase DeLauder, and now that goes out the window, and we're probably not going to see him until 2026. How are you feeling about the Guardians another win yesterday. They take 2 out of 3 against the A's. Another cupcake series coming against the Orioles here starting later tonight. They are rolling. It's exciting stuff. But do you believe that it's fool's gold or that the team's starting to get their mojo back and actually make a legitimate run at the playoffs?
Danny Cunningham, Daryl Ryder with you, in for Ken and Anthony, who will be back next week. Browns training camp kicking off officially out in Berea today. We'll be out there. We'll dive into that coming up at the top of the hour. But want to touch on, Danny, a couple of things that that Zach had to say related to the upcoming trade deadline. They've won 10 of 12. They're starting to feel good about themselves again after that disastrous 10-game losing streak, and I would argue disastrous 6-week stretch in which they were scoring. It took a Herculean effort to score 3 runs in a game. And so now they seem to have things back on track. And Zach telling us there in that interview that he thinks that they're going to try and or he feels they should look a little bit towards 2026.
Yeah, and I agree with that sentiment. I think that if they do go a direction, and I think standing pat is acceptable, even if it's not what I would necessarily do. But I do think that this is an organization, Daryl, that should lean towards selling as opposed to buying right now. I don't view them right now as a legitimate contender in the postseason. Could they make the postseason? Sure. But I think if they make the postseason, they're probably not going anywhere of significance. Maybe they can find a way out of the wild card round and into the ALDS, but I think that is where their journey would ultimately stop. And I think that so much of this needs to be about how do we find a way to win a World Series? Because we have the longest title drought in the entire sport.
We do?
We do.
We do?
And
what?
It's miserable.
We're now the Boston Red Sox and Chicago Cubs?
And it's getting up there. It's not exactly, 25 years at this point. And I do think that, listen, the Guardians are not going to be an organization that ever pushes their chips all in. That's not how they operate, and I understand that. And I respect it to a certain extent. But I do think, in what Zach said made a lot of sense, that there are avenues they can pursue to make themselves a pretty formidable contender next year. I think that because of what they did this winter, it was going to be really difficult for them to be a formidable contender this year. Now, we can debate whether or not that was the right move this winter. I thought it was a bad idea for them. I thought they had a terrible offseason. And you're seeing that with the way that they're a 500 baseball team right now. I think that they can start by start remedying that now. I would, Daryl, if I were in charge of the Guardians, I would want to sell off some pieces here. I would want to.
You're trading Emmanuel Clase, aren't
you?
Yes,
I would personally.
With three more years of team friendly control.
I would think about trading Stephen Kwan as well, like, because I just don't view those guys as. I think that they could do more for you with what they bring back to set up a true contention run where maybe you can convince this team to go all in. Maybe you can convince ownership in the front office to go all in. But I just look at this and say, this feels like a wasted year. And I think Stephen Kwan a little bit less, because I think he is very consistent. And of course, Emmanuel Clase has been great, but I view bullpens as very volatile in Major League Baseball.
I was going to say, how do you trade one of your two dependable hitters? You legit have two dependable hitters in this lineup. And like,
Because if you have two dependable hitters, you might as well have none. Like, that's why the offense stinks, right? So this needs to be about, okay, does moving a dependable hitter this year, who is not going to, all indications say he's not going to sign an extension, right? Like, right. That has been what everybody has said about Stephen Kwan, that
he's going to take his market, but he's not going to do what Jose Ramirez did. He's going to go the Frankie Lindor route.
And all the power to him for doing that. He deserves to maximize every dollar that he can potentially make, and good for him. And I support that decision from him. And what do we also know? The Guardians don't let guys get to free agency like that. They will trade him at a certain point. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2 years from now. But they will trade him before he hits free agency as to not lose him for nothing, right? That is how they operate. They've shown you that time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, the joke used to be you win a Cy Young, get traded.
Yes, that is exactly what this organization
does. If you
want
to stay in Cleveland, the worst thing you could do is win a Cy Young award.
So that is something to think about here. Because is that something that right now, would the Guardians take a step back this year? Sure. But are they taking a step back from being contenders, or are they taking a step back from being slightly above mediocre to mediocre. I like to think it's probably the latter, unfortunately, not the former. And if they do that this year, can they be true contenders next year? The answer might be yes there.
Here's the question that I have. And this isn't anything against them. But how can you ever position yourself to win a World Series if you're always having to trade your best players?
I think that is a problem with ownership here. I think that's a problem with baseball overall. I don't disagree. Like, that is not, that's not an unfair question, but I do think that that is why they're handcuffed, because they have,
you're always,
they have also, to be fair here, they have refused to pay some of their best players. Yeah. Like, I can't look at this, and you can say small market and all that stuff, and, you know, the books are very murky. We don't know how much money exactly they're operating with, but
like they can't,
if there's a will, there's a way. They could have found a way to pay Francisco Lindor. They could have, and they chose not to.
Well,
and that was a disaster.
So you're saying they can pay Stephen Kwan?
They could. They won't. They can, but they won't. Now, the only thing that will change this is if and when there's a salary cap in the sport, because I do believe that is coming. I think that will be here sooner than later. And I think that would be one of the best things for the Guardians. And I think it'd be a great thing for Guardians fans, because with the salary cap, what else do you get, Daryl? You get a salary floor. And the Guardians would be then forced to spend a little bit more money than they are spending. Well,
but they're not one of the lowest spenders in this.
No,
they're,
but
they're,
I think the floor would be 90% of the cap.
Like, they're not with the A's or the Marlins. You don't have the union ready to file grievances against them for not spending any money.
No, but I would bet that where the Guardians are at is below what the floor would be.
I don't know how they're going to end this World Series drought when every 5 years you get perennial all-star caliber players, and then you have to trade them for prospects that you hope turn into perennial all-star players. I don't know how you end that vicious cycle.
216-474-0092. That's the number to call in if you want to participate in the show. Man, I can't wait. 1 o'clock. Miles Garrett, boys are back in town. Browns gathered, ready to roll, getting moving. We're not going to see pads till next week, but they're here. The football season rolls on, and right now they haven't lost a game. So life is good if you're a Browns fan, at least for today. It's all about talk rather than action on the field, and we'll see that soon enough. Omar Vizquel was just with us, former Indians shortstop. His new website, Omar Vizquel 13. He was just with us, Mary Kay Cabot.
Website looks good.
At 10:40. Yeah, it's got that, you know, that famous play that he made at short, where he's just stretched out like Spider-Man. And it's just pretty cool. That's where it starts. And there's a lot of really neat stuff.
You mean
in there.
The play he made every game?
Yeah, that would be true. Or between every inning. No one was more fun to watch in between innings than Omar Vizquel. It was like, I don't know, I can't explain. How would you explain it? Like a juggler, or just making plays that you would never see? And just, it's just so much fun. I'm like, seriously, like, you didn't want to turn away while the team was warming up, because he would make these spectacular plays, or he would just flip the ball here or do something like that. So it was always exciting to watch that. All right, let's get into the Guardians, Jeff, with the trade deadline knocking on the door next week. You know, there's a Rich, I almost said Rich Passan, Jeff Passan, his son, has a great story out there on ESPN talking about every team's trade deadline preview and his intel that he has on every team. And when it comes to the Guardians, his intel, and I didn't feel like this was happening a week ago. He just said that the headline for the Guardians was, just how much will they subtract? And I agree with that. I think that's what most Guardians fans are saying. Are you looking at it and saying, Carlos Santana going to be gone? Is that one? Elaine Thomas, could he be gone? What happens with Shane Bieber? Like, how much are they willing to give up? And who are the players they might be willing to get? And then he said that their best asset is Stephen Kwan. And I'm just kind of befuddled.
Andy, he's untouchable.
He is? According to?
Other reporters.
Yeah, that he's untouchable. So I'm a little intrigued by the fact that Kwan's name is just popping up left and right over the last 48, 72 hours.
I'm not. Don't ask me why. It's a weird thing to me.
Why?
Dan has mentioned, you know, some of the deep dive numbers show that Steven's not running as well as he was. That's a huge part of his game. And he's had some issues, you know, with his legs. And I have an issue that I keep looking at with him, and it's that his batting average has dropped exponentially from the beginning throughout the season this year and last. And I just wonder, I wonder if you combine those two things, that he's not running as well and that his numbers are dropping like crazy during the season for 2 years in a row, and maybe some information that they're getting when they talk to his agent, that they think, yeah, we need to trade him sooner rather than later. Now, when I say all that, man, I like having Stephen Kwan on this team. I think he's terrific. He's a great left fielder, does a really nice job, and is a good leadoff hitter. I don't think he's a great leadoff hitter, but I think he's a good leadoff hitter. To me, great leadoff hitters hit 320, if people can hit 320 in this day and age. I think he's good, and I like him, and I wouldn't move him unless I got a deal I couldn't turn down. There's a team that might be able to give you that.
Dan, are you buying the whole? I mean, I know what was the number you had for last year? He had a bad. What, he have a bad August last year? What'd you say before the show? You were telling me his numbers were bad.
His batting average dropped every month last season.
But he walks. I mean, he makes up for it with the fact he's got such a good eye.
Yeah,
I mean, great. He ends at bats on base 34%, or actually close to 35% of the time.
I like him. I don't want to trade him.
He did hit .381 in the playoffs last year.
Terrific. And the guy. I want him on the team. And we just laid out why his name might be in these rumors still.
Yeah.
And we hear untouchable, but his name keeps popping up. So I think it tells you
something. Why am I having trouble kind of swallowing diminishing skills towards the end of the season for him, knowing that? Is it because, I mean, he's in his fourth year? I don't know. I mean, I just, when I watch this team, I have two guys I trust when they go to the plate every time. Every time. And he's one of them. And I'm not willing to walk away from that.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I mean, if he's not up there and Jose's not up there, we keep our fingers crossed. And Carlos, you can.
And you're like, oh my God, maybe it's Santana. Maybe Santana's up. And
this year, for giggles.
Okay.
Batting average by month, and they combine April and March. Mm-hmm. 322 April and March, 308 May, 244 June, 230 July. That's not the trending in the right direction you want.
No, it's not.
Last year, and again, he bounced back in the playoffs. You're right. Last year, it was not good. It's not what you're looking for. And it was the same type of thing. And I clicked on the wrong thing again by a mistake.
It's all right.
But hold on. Here you go. Last year, 350 in April and March. And then 471 in May. I mean, that was the month. Remember, he's, you know, right around 400. And everybody's thinking, can this guy hit 400? June, 374. July, 250. August, 207. September and October, 195. That's just happens once. Okay. Happens twice. Probably more than coincidence. Maybe the guy gets worn down. Maybe the guy is beat up. You know, he's not the biggest guy. Maybe his body, you know, fires back at him during the season. I don't know. All that said, Andy, I don't want to trade him.
No,
but I also don't want to let him walk away in free agency. And that's two years down the road.
I think you have another year to wait on him.
I think you're absolutely right.
And then if you're waiting out next year and they're significantly better, then you might have to think about, you know, cracking open the checkbook to keep him somewhere down the road.
Well, you load it up on outfield power hitters in this draft. I know. It's a draft. I know that. You know, last year you drafted Travis Bezzana. Did not draft power hitters in the draft. You know, this year you loaded up on him. Last year you passed on Nick Kurtz. What's he have, 18 home runs? You passed on Jack Caglione. He's already up. You passed on our guy Charlie Condon, who Dan and I both wanted. I think he's in high A ball or just moved up to double A. He'd been dealing with an injury.
The ownership switch could happen in, what, 28? I think it's 28. I'm almost bought. And then That's when Kwan's an unrestricted free agent. I'll be interesting to see if the blitzer transition happens.
It still is an if.
Yeah. Well, they have the option.
They have the option. Yeah.
They have the option to do it. So I mean, the Dolans could still have the team in 28 and beyond. If for some reason the blitzers don't want to expand their minority role in the team and take over the majority role of the team. And I wonder how that affects any contract that could possibly happen in the next 2-3 years. I think you have to keep that in the back of your mind. I think it would be easier to kind of plan if you knew they were planning on doing it. But, I mean, if I were them, I wouldn't make any noise yet. I'd be like, well, when were the options there for me to take over? Then I'll do it then. But until then, why would you even, you know, unless you're worried about losing a player like Stephen Kwan, if you think Stephen Kwan is a lifer. I mean, there aren't very many lifers in any sport.
Anyway, well, he has to be willing to be.
I also, you know, we talk about this trade deadline thing, and Klasse's name has kind of really cooled off a little bit, hasn't it?
Oh, give it about 2 hours.
You think so?
The LA Dodgers lost another
relief pitcher,
Tanner Scott.
MRI came back clean for Scott, though.
Oh!
Saying just inflammation.
There you go. You got your information back in 10 seconds.
However, inflammation in your elbow of your closer on a team that's already had huge injuries in the bullpen and thinks it can win it all. Well, what does that scream?
Aspirin cream.
No, it screams, let's go get a closer. Let's get him in here. And if we have to give up something to win a World Series, we'll do it. That was funny.
What was the other one?
Ben Gay.
Anything that can smell up the entire bus.
Ben Gay. Right?
Anything you're like, oh, what is that smell? Flexerol is a drug. What's the other one they eat? Why can't I think of the other one? There's another, it's like a salve.
I don't know.
Icy Hot is one, but there's a local company. Yeah. There's one I can't remember. It's super famous, and I just, my mind just can't get there. Do we think they're making a move or not? I think.
Yes, they will make some kind of a move. Don't ask me if they're buying or selling.
You know what's going to happen on Monday, right? Or no, the trade deadline is 31st, right? So that gives us till what, next Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Next Thursday. Next Friday, the press conference with Chris Antonetti is going to be like this. Well, we got Shane Bieber back. It's just like making a trade. There you have it. I've already looked into the future.
It's an assumption.
Fair.
Well, do you know you have Shane Bieber back?
I'm just saying that it'll be Bieber or any chance Bizzano with 3 doubles last night? Any chance we see him the last month of the season? We've taken him out of the Arizona cage, right?
That would be very sweet. I just don't think that's the case. This is the Cleveland Guardians we are talking about. It's the opposite of the Cleveland Browns in that they have a plan. And they follow it.
It's like we willed him to have a great night last night. Yesterday we were talking about, like, you know, we should be talking about Bizzano right now, shouldn't we? And then, boom, look what he's been doing.
There's also a little taste of Akron. To a silly degree.
Dodgers' other relief pitcher left with an injury, Ben Kasperius. Now, his name had been rumor, you know, kind of in trade rumors. But you know, if they're down a couple of relief pitchers, guys. Not advocating trading Emmanuel Clase. I'm not.
I don't know. Maybe you bring Bizzano up. That makes Kwan happy. The whole Oregon connection there.
Oregon State.
Right?
Oregon State.
It's same state. The state of Oregon, dude. State of Oregon. I'm not talking about whether it's Oregon State or Oregon.
Well, dude's from Australia.
Doesn't matter.
The other dude's from California.
You don't understand the influence of living in the Northwest.
Look, there's a tree.
There you go. Exactly. But you can understand it better if you've lived in northern Idaho or
Travis,
Oregon.
Or I'm Steven.
Western
Welcome
Washington.
Welcome to Tree City.
Eastern Washington.
We are home. This is the forest city. We are home.
If you can understand that travel through the rolling hills of the Palouse to get into the fine herbal essence of life in the United States and the great Northwest.
Why did they make that shampoo green? I remember shampoo.
You just use soap. Is that it? You still have a little left there. You can still use some shampoo on that. so the bottle might last a couple years, but that's okay. Jeff's got Jeff's got hair. He's got some.
That 99
he's got crew.
That 99 cent shampoo does last a long time, boy.
He's got a bottle of crew from like 1994. Still working. You just need a little dab. Little dab. Chris Rose is going to join us at 12:20.
Never liked you.
Let's talk more about what the Guardian should be doing, what they should be thinking, and what direction you want them to go in. 216-474-0092. Browns enter camp in Berea as well. Oh, it's about time you admitted it, Jeff.
As soon as I said that,
I teed Andy up.
I hope he hits it out of the park, and he did.
Of course, you think I'm not. That's a fastball right down the middle. I can hit that one.
Here's the thing.
I could do it left-handed.
And this is weird with the trade deadline coming up.
Yeah.
And we're talking Guardians. They've won 9 of 11. They're doing a great job following up that 10-game losing streak. They put themselves back in the radar for the wild card, and that's terrific. Trade deadline's coming up. And there are two completely different thoughts that are out there on Stephen Kwan in particular. And we've heard, you know, four untouchables from multiple big time reporters. Hoynsey, Buster Olney, ESPN. These are the four guys who are untouchable.
Okay.
And then ESPN comes out and Jeff Passan, terrific writer from, you know, Northeast Ohio. He and Kylie McDaniel, top 50 trade deadline candidates. And they say players are ranked by value for their new team if traded, not likelihood of being dealt. Then why the heck is Stephen Kwan number two on the list? If that's the case, trade Jose. He'd be number one.
I don't disagree with that.
I wonder why Kwan is there. And then Klasse's on the list at number seven, and Cade Smith's at number nine. How did three of their four untouchables end up in the top 10?
Can I ask you guys?
I don't get it.
I just on top of that, because I agree with everything that you're talking about, and how do you get yourself this in position? And I know we got a bunch of phone calls on this, but I need to ask you this just really quick, because I've been staring at this every day for the last month. Okay, the Guardians are 3.5 back on the wild card spot right now.
Yeah,
what do they need to be? I'll even give you 2 days, a week from today, to make them say, they don't even have to buy. Stand pat. What do they need to be to stand pat?
I think they're there right now.
3.5, you good?
Right where they are.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, by the end of the weekend, they could be up there with Tampa.
This third wildcard team has made the trade deadline just like so ho-hum. Because everybody's
still
in.
But it's not for us. It's not ho-hum for us.
Here's the thing.
They're in a weird spot right now. They are. Because I think traditionally, if you go back to like when they traded Savali, or you even want to go back deeper, you could say when they traded Bartolo Colon, that they were kind of in this spot those years, and they walked in the other direction. Yeah. I don't know that they're walking away from an opportunity. And I say that maybe just because of what Vogt was saying when they were losing, that he still had the optimism, that he still felt. Now, I know that's part of his job, but he was not just talking to talk. And he wasn't wrong. That's the thing about it. They were losing games, but they were losing games that were close and games they probably could have won. And now look, 11 games away from that 10-game losing streak, that, you know, they could have won two of those other games, those two games that they lost. So I'm wondering what that number is.
I just think they're there right now. Dano thinks they're there right now. What I would do if you're going to make a trade, I am not making a trade that doesn't benefit me this year, next year, and beyond.
That's a good way to look at it. I like that. I wouldn't
just make a trade that benefits me for the rest of this year, because I don't know that the team is worth investing in. But if you can invest big time and add this year, next year, year after that, then I think maybe you make a trade. Anthony is in Elyria. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, fellas. How you guys doing?
We are good.
All right, good. Hey, you guys were talking earlier about Stephen Kwan playing center and the pros and cons. I'm going to tell you why I don't think he should be playing center.
Okay.
Traditionally, not only do center fielders have to cover more ground, they have to pretty much go from left center to right center, and they're usually going to cover the deepest part of the park. But if you look at all the great center fielders, they have cannon arms. Kwan doesn't have a cannon arm. You know, he has a mediocre arm. He has a left field arm. That's why Barry Bonds and Ricky Henderson never played center, because they couldn't throw. Not only that, center field beats up your body. Look at Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Trout and all those guys that were running around the outfield all those years, and they all got banged up because center field takes a toll on your body. So I think the Indians are smart by not putting him in center field because he's a little guy. His body will get beat up. What do you think?
And then maybe that's one of the reasons that his batting average has dropped, you know, each of the last two seasons throughout the season. Maybe it's the same thing, and maybe that's why he's playing left. He's great in left field. I just, with this team, if they ended up getting a couple of guys that they thought were corner outfielders, I'd try Kwan in center. But I understand your rationale is, I think, terrific. It's on the money.
Yeah, you look at all those guys. Kirby Puckett had a cannon. All those guys have cannons. I don't know about today's center fielders because I don't watch baseball much as I used to. The old school guys, they all have cannons.
All right, Anthony. It's a valid point.
I mean, it's been said, though, the speed part. I mean, and I don't think Kwan's where he, I mean, you were talking about there's analytics saying that he slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, the StatCast data will tell you year after year he's slowed down.
But at one point, he was one of the faster guys on his team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dealing with hamstring issues.
Yeah, which is another reason why maybe don't put him in center field.
You can't shut him down, not where they are now, but if he can get a little bit more rest, I don't know if that
especially
would
especially coming after off a three-walk night, and I think, what, he had three walks and two hits or something like that?
Yeah.
Nate's in West Salem. Hi, Nate. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Long time no talk to you.
Hey, good how are you?
Good. Good. So I only want to trade for one player, one position player at the trade deadline, and that's for a catcher.
Oh, good.
I want to make it a sweet deal. I want to put in Rocchio, Santana, and Rodriguez. I want either a major league ready catcher who's playing well, who can hit 275 and play decent defense behind the plate, who's at the big leagues now, or I want someone who has a good catcher in front of them, and we think that he can become that guy. We had not had a catcher in 5, 6, maybe 7 years. We need a good catcher, and it's killing us because we're only going into every game with 8 decent batters. And I say decent, and that's a stretch. So that's it. I'll listen to you guys. Thank you.
All right, Nate, you're with Andy. Andy wants a catcher. Baltimore might have a surplus.
What was the batting average he asked for?
275.
Well, there's only, what, 4, 5?
I was going to say, good luck, you and all of baseball. Because if you can hit and you're a catcher, you're probably playing first base.
Could you get, what is it? Is
Dan, Hunter, are you Hunter like Goodman? Adley Rutschman?
Hunter Goodman, the kid in Colorado? Is
that? I want to know what's wrong with him. I mean, that guy came out and
with
was,
Adley?
I want to know what's wrong. He came out and was fantastic and has been just slowly getting worse every single year.
Their number one prospect is a catcher.
Again, if you are a catcher who can hit, you're probably playing first base.
Yeah.
Ask Bryce Harper.
Ask
Gary Sheffield. Ask Craig Biggio. You can play second base. Tom is in Brook Park, future home of the National High School Football Hall of Fame.
How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Tom?
Nothing much. Sorry. Quick thing about the last caller, Jonathan Rodriguez. I don't think a team... Who would want Jonathan Rodriguez?
Yeah, they're not clamoring for the guys who are hitting 140.
No, they're not. But back to the help about the Stephen Kwan trade. The only thing I know is I have rumors, and my uncle, he was pretty spot on the Josh Naylor trade and the problems it kind of created when they brought up Manzardo. Apparently Josh did not like that. He was telling me months in advance that they were going to trade Josh.
Yeah.
And he told me last month that when we were going to San Francisco – that Kwan, he wants to go home. So he wants to go back to California, and they've already tried to offer him different deals, but he keeps turning it down because he wants to go home. I don't know if he's going to go to the Giants, but I do see the Dodgers. Michael Conforto, who plays left field, he's also a bum. Seems like a ready fit. Not saying I want him gone, but that's what I've heard, and it kind of makes sense.
A little bit. I mean, we said that about a lot of athletes. There's nothing wrong with wanting to go home, too. I get that.
You know, just because a guy is drafted by an organization and comes up in the organization doesn't mean you have to make that the team you want to play for the rest of your career. I mean, in some cases, we'd like that. But, Tom, I get that. And, you know, I wonder if they're getting those vibes from his agent that he's not interested in signing long term. I would completely answer the phone if somebody calls.
Exactly. I mean, it could be a pretty good haul. I mean, if we're looking for power, please do not get another middle infielder for a trade. So that's all I got to say.
Trade all right, Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Tom. Just this draft, so loaded with position players with big size and big power, still makes me wonder, you know, moving forward. It's just weird to me that Kwan's name is out there so much. And
again, I'm asking you, is his agent one point?
Next year is in arbitration. Yep.
He's got 2 more years arbitration, doesn't he?
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't see any catchers high on the Giants.
But there's only
one thing here,
though, guys.
They haven't had one since Posey.
Yeah.
The situation is pretty simple. Who on the team do you think is a good offensive player right now? There are 2 guys.
Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, and I'd throw Santana in there, too.
Carlos can be, but he's certainly seen his better days.
Yeah, he can't hit for power like he used to, but he will stand on first base.
Yeah, Carlos is a good Major League Baseball player.
I'm going to be honest with you. I want to see what Martinez looks like for the rest of the season.
I do, too, man. That guy can play.
Leave him in the lead. Was he in second?
He was center field last night.
The 3 of us bought a lot of stock early on him, and it looks like it's paying off right now.
Yeah, it go.
He was in center field last night.
And don't take him out. Just leave him there. I'm down with it.
Do you like him at second, or do you like him in center?
Right now, center, I'm fine. I'm good with it.
Then who do you like at second? See, to me, if Juan Brito comes up, and if he can get healthy, stay healthy, they need to see what they have in him before Bezzano's ready to go, whenever that's going to be. So I could see where Martinez is your center fielder, Brito is your second baseman, and Schneeman is your utility guy playing all over the place and getting some at-bats. I mean, I wouldn't put Daniel on the bench and leave him. I think he's done a very nice job. But Martinez needs to be in the lineup. I don't think there's any question about that.
I'm not taking him out. That's it. Fine. Leave him in the outfield. I don't care where he's playing. Just keep him out there. Because I have confidence in him in the lineup. Now, maybe I have confidence against him against the Orioles or the A's, and I don't know what that confidence level looks like when you're playing, you know, Detroit late in the season and you're trying to make the playoffs, but... You know the other guy that's driving me crazy on this team is Rocchio. Rocchio drives me nuts.
You know why?
He's hitting better lately.
Because I want him to succeed.
Yes, that's exactly why.
I want him to succeed. And
yes.
He's
the answer at shortstop, unless he isn't. And that's why you want to see him. Because he's got a good glove. We know he had some issues early. He's got a good glove.
He does.
At times we saw him hit well late last year, playoffs. He looked terrific. And that when you saw that Brian Rocchio, you thought, there's our guy. That's done. That's it. And here's the other thing. If it's not him, who is it?
Well, supposedly Gabe Arias is starting to get healthy.
Yeah, I know.
So that's the one that they all keep pointing to.
Exactly. Right? But who would you rather have playing shortstop?
I'd rather have Rocchio. Do we not hate the fact that Bezzano's not even in this conversation right now?
Well, he's not a shortstop.
He's not.
No, I'm just saying for middle infield. I don't care. Like,
he's in the Arizona complex league. He's in the Phantom Zone, man. We're in that dimension in between the, you know, where Superman was in jail. That's where we are.
The Arizona complex league.
You just gave it away. Not everyone's seen the movie yet. I thought we decided a week.
We said a week.
Wow, I can't believe you did that.
He's in the Phantom Zone. That's all it is. He's in the Phantom Zone,
which is located at Mentor Headlands. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
Might be.
That was weird. It's Mentor Headlands.
That's where I am with Bezzano. He's in the Phantom Zone. The minute he becomes an actual person who can affect this team, we will take him out of the Phantom Zone.
Absolutely. Coming up next. Dano, I haven't bounced this one off of you. Coming up next, Andy, you ready?
You just want to bounce it off him?
3 of Menigan's favorite things. Baseball.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Telephones.
Food.
Oh.
All rolled into one. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
You and I briefly referenced this... this trade scenario earlier, I think it was yesterday when it first came out, but we never really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Emmanuel Clase has been kind of the huge talking point around baseball. One of the biggest relievers out there. He is incredibly affordable the next 3.5 years. He's also, even this year, still one of the best closers in baseball. And it's interesting. I think a lot of Guardians fans, even in the midst of a winning season, are open to the idea of trading him. So when Emmanuel Clase for Jaron Duran in pieces came up, I don't think I saw one Guardians fan even object to the idea.
I'm torn on this one because I want power in this lineup. So I'm never going to be the one to say no to adding some sort of power, some sort of something. But I do wonder I just wonder with Duran if he's the right guy to make this move with.
Why is that?
Because last year he was awesome. He led the league in doubles. He led the league in triples. He had, remember that season that Andrés Giménez had where everything just collectively came together and he finished fourth in the MVP voting? Mm-hmm. That's what Duran did last year. Now he finished seventh in the MVP voting, so it wasn't fourth, but he was right there in the ballpark. Like he had, from every metric you can find, slugging percentage, on base percentage, everything, he was awesome. And it's the only time in his career we've seen him do that. Now he came back down to earth this year, and you can make an argument that, maybe he's just been unfavorable and it's just been unlucky for him in some sense, Bay Pip, etc. But like the reality is that he's probably somewhere between what you saw last year and then what you're seeing this year. Is that the right bet? Because if you're paying for this guy that is this year, I don't think that's the right bet.
You know what's crazy about it is he's still a two war player offensively through 100 games.
Yeah.
So now, in fairness, he was a almost three war defensive center fielder last year, and he was a six war player with his bat. Which, guys, that's like an MVP season if he wasn't on a losing team last year.
So yeah, but he's slugging .430. He's got nine homers. Like they're fine numbers, but they're not. It's not anything to really write home about. Like, so, it's definitely a big time step back from last year. Just what bet are you making? Are you betting that he's closer to 2024, or is he closer to what he currently has been in 2025?
I still think he's going to end up as like a 3.5 war player this year, 4 war player. And if that's true, that's still like an all-star caliber player just a cut above. So I would bet on this. Like he is, I mean, he's going to be 29 next year. Okay, but the reality is he'll be gone, was it 2 years after that, 3 years after that? I think he's got 3.5 more years of control.
Well, that's a cool thing. I think it's through 2028 is the control that he has.
So I continue to kind of look at this, and I'm like, well, the whole point that people don't want to, the bullpen's, it's going to be so weak. It's like, well, in this case, you'd be taking your ultimate strength beyond the bullpen and pushing it into your outfield, answering center field in a way. Now, you would then be facing Kwan being a free agent 1 year, Duran being a free agent the next year. Potentially not great, but listen, to me, what got my attention was Duran and pieces.
So I was
looking at this. That's what's interesting.
So I read a couple Boston articles on this because I was trying to figure out what exactly the return would be and what like Boston side is looking at it. Because you know me, when it comes to trade stuff, I'm constantly looking at the other side to see what they think. Mm-hmm. They're thinking the opposite. They're thinking it's got to be him in exchange for Clase, and then we give up extra pieces on the side. And they didn't throw this name in there because they're not talking about it. But the perception I was getting was that it would be something like Duran. And then we throw Class A in there and then also throw Santana in the mix. And that's how you get the deal done because they need first base help right now.
So honestly, listen, I don't want to trade Carlos. I think I'm a little bit more. I think he's really been kind of secretly valuable to you. I think if you take out, I think it was like the first 4 to 6 weeks, he's been really, really, really good the last 2 months. That being said, it's interesting. So I did follow up on this. I can't remember who brought this up first, but when I read it initially, they had confirmed somewhere that they meant more from the Boston side. But I would trade Carlos Santana alongside Class A if they're also giving up something a little extra too.
Like, I'm not going to let Santana be the one that makes or break this one. I think you go down that road if that's the throw in, if that's the extra piece, and it would work. But I guess I'd have more belief in this if I had belief that the Guardians were the type of team that could take someone and be like, you used to be this, or you showed flashes of being this last year. You come back down to earth a little bit, but we're going to find a way to get your power back to where it was 2 years ago instead of what it is this year. And the Guardians have shown me no signs of being able to be that team.
See, what's interesting about what you're saying is he only hit, and I'm going to say only in parentheses, he only hit 21 home runs last year.
Yeah, but again, so, he led the league in doubles. He led the league in triples.
He still leads the double and he's still a triple machine this year. He's got 10 triples.
No, he does. But like, there was a lot of extra base hits that he was getting last year and pulling it off. Now, he had a bunch of at-bats, too. Like, that was part of the equation as well. Got a lot of opportunities. But like, I don't know. Like, what part of you thinks that the Guardians could have him tap into that? Because like, I do wonder if it is, if it's going to be looked at like a Jimenez year, where Jimenez was just awesome for a season, and then they were just never able to tap back into that.
I mean, I think the difference is his drop from where he was last year to this year, as pronounced as it is, it's not a complete and absolute regression. Like, so much of Andres's value was the glove, and by the last 2 years, it's all its value. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was like a one more player offensively, which is your two hole is just awful. So, I mean, like, Duran is still going to surpass that. He's going to triple that by the end of the year. Actually, the funny thing is he's having a bad defensive year by his standards. I think he's just like a league average player, or like basically a break even on the defensive side of the ball this year. So your concern so about, like, would you do this? You know, are the Guardians the right team to bring it back? I think it's fair. I just think in the name of getting another table setter there. And listen, I would love a power bat for Class A. And if there's a way you can get the Garcia kid as well in this, he's at Double A, so he's not ready yet. That's a kid that's going to end up being like an Adelis Garcia or a Randy Arozarena, like a guy with just stupid power that's probably going to hit 250. I'd take that. But I just look at it and I'm like, man, for Hosey, so much of your offense is built on what's Hosey doing on any night.
Right.
Putting another elite level on base machine, even though this kid strikes out more and walks less than Kwan, I think Kwan into Duran right in front of Hosey would be, I think that would be an incredible boost to the lineup.
I mean, listen, I'm all about adding offense. That's the whole goal of this. And if you're going to make a Class A trade, I'd rather have him do something like this where you're adding somebody at the big league level and you're getting something in return instead of just what is potentially 2 years down the line maybe can turn into something. But there is a reason why Boston is saying, hey, we're so excited to see what Roman Anthony can do in left field. Like, we're so excited to watch Abreu get opportunities in right. Like, there's a reason why they're in many ways pushing Duran out the door when they should be as competitive as they can be right now.
So, this is always a case of your best meets our best, meaning your need for what your deficiency is meets our best, and our need, and even though I know power bat, you need really good starting outfielders, and you've got one. It's the same thing there. Like, between Roman Anthony, Willier Abreu, Christian Campbell's probably going to end up in the outfield unless, I think he might end up being a better left fielder than he will be a second baseman. They've just got too many outfielders. Like, honestly, they were trying to trade Willier Abreu this last offseason, and they just couldn't get the value they wanted because people were worried he was a little bit of a flash in a pan.
But Duran was the guy he was last year, they'd find room.
Oh, no. You're right, but the point is, like, this is opportunities like this happen in baseball where a team kind of sours, oh, you're not who we thought you were. And then all of a sudden, you kind of push him over and, oh, he can still do it. He was just having a bad, you know, it's been since June 1 that he's really kind of taken a little bit of a dive here. I'm supremely interested in this. I can't sell you. I can't disclude any of the things you've said. I think you make a hell of an argument, and there's risk in here. Not akin to like a prospect risk, but there is risk here. But man, it's tough for me not to look at this and be like, okay, how often do you trade an elite closer for an everyday player? That guy ends up being a good everyday player, not a great player.
I get the excitement. You know, I do. I get the excitement. And like, it should be fun. Like, if this is the deal that goes down, I don't think Guardians fans are going to look at this and say, what happened here? How did we end up in this spot? And myself included. If this deal goes down, I will be able to say, in the name of offensive moves and trying to get this offense to be the best it can, let's go put Cade Smith in the bullpen as a closer, and then let's just keep this thing rolling. I do wonder if, like, a year from now, though, you're going to end up in a spot where you get more for Class A in a better situation. It's just that the market right now for hitters just isn't, it's just not elite at the moment. Like, Duran might be as good as you can get.
So the one thing I would say about this, and I think this is a real question you have to ask Jaron before you make this trade. You have to go make sure that kid doesn't have a negative thought of Cleveland.
Of Cleveland after that,
because
that incident?
Of that jackass in the stands.
I would hope he just looks at it as one person, but
remember,
maybe he doesn't.
One fan was maybe all it took for David Wells and who before he was even David Wells. He was just a pitcher in Detroit. Somebody said something about that dude's mom, and then all that guy heard in Cleveland from that moment on was the negative things that Clevelanders said to him. I mean, he never forgave Cleveland for it. Still won't. Yeah. We'll still absolutely go out and just say mean things about Cleveland.
I mean, not the same thing because it's not sports, but like Morgan Wallen had a concert in Arizona like a couple weeks ago or maybe even last week.
Is that God's country? I can't remember.
It's not God's country. Mm. But like, I guess it's one fan was just being unruly and he's like, I'm not coming back to Arizona. And it's like, that's all it takes. Like, it is true.
In fairness, that guy is soft batch.
He's soft batch?
Yeah.
Well, he's a musician, you know.
No, no, no.
Most country musicians. I can't speak for all musicians.
Most
country musicians tend to be softer.
I thought he was just a pretty face and an okay voice. And then after the way he handled the SNL stuff, I thought, you might be the biggest baby on the planet.
I think he knew what he was playing to. He doesn't care about the coastal elites, Nick. He plays to God's country.
God's country.
Those are the ones buying the albums. Or at least listening to it on Spotify.
But no, I mean, you're dumb. I do think... I do think in the next year and a half.
Easy on the commentary.
I think Duran might be the best thing you can get for Class A. And if there's a kicker in it, depending, listen, kicker can mean they got a middle reliever. Right? Obviously, the kicker part of this is interesting. But yeah, I mean, if there's an offer out there that is in with a starting center fielder with a really nice glove and, you know, And listen, even if you got to kick in a Santana or you know me, I don't want to trade Daniel Schneeman. You got to throw Schneeman in. Yeah, I think that's the kind of move that if you can really start to you can really start to reshape the rest of your roster with Duran in center field.
I think Santana gets it done if they throw in Carlos, and the Guardians shouldn't be shy to do so. I think that gets it done.
I think it gets it done for Red Sox fans. I think what will be interesting is what does it do for the Guardians who always have a sky-high price on all their talent, so much so that other front offices complain about it as if it's a bad thing they value their players.
Yeah, as if they don't want to just be fleeced.
These guys won't give away their players for less than they want. I don't understand.
We can't just tell them, hey, this is what you should trade, and they should do it.
This is a nightmare. Emmanuel Clase for Jaron Duran, who says no? I think this makes a lot of sense for both teams, and great quarterback fatigue. It's a real thing, potentially, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.